The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
And I understand what it's like to live in shame and guilt and fear and blame. And for me, it came to the point where at age 16, my bags were packed for a mental institution because everyone who loved me, my family, you know, all the prayers, everything, it's like, well, we don't know what else to do.
Sexual abuse survivor Jenna Quinn shares how her road to recovery and healing led her to protecting other children from abuse. Next on Life Today.
Everybody, I'm Tammy Trent. Welcome to Life Today. I'm so glad you're here with us today. It's going to be a great day, and it's a great day to be alive. And yet I know for some of you, it might not feel that way. Maybe you find yourself just hanging on for dear life today, wondering where God is in the middle of it all. I want to remind you that God is with you. You face nothing alone. Your pain and suffering does not go unnoticed. Jesus can bring meaning and healing to even the toughest situations in your life right now today. Trust that He's walking with you right now in every challenge you might be facing, and His love is unwavering. I promise you it's unwavering through it all. My guest today, Jenna Quinn, knows all about that. After the unthinkable walked in and tried to steal everything from her, including her own desire to want to live, but she chose life for her and for many others along the way. Jenna, welcome to Life Today. I'm so glad you're here.
I'm so honored to be here.
Oh, girl, we're gonna have a great conversation today. It's such an important conversation. I first wanna start by telling you that I read your book this weekend. I couldn't put it down. You take us through so much throughout that book, and you bring us to the other side of just the miracle of what God has done in and through your life. But for those that have never met Jenna Quinn, like I have, can you take us back to the early childhood in your life and how things began to unravel?
Absolutely, and I can take you there quickly.
Okay.
Even though we all know it's a process, yeah, walking through healing and, yeah, walking through pain and betrayal,
yes,
and trauma. And for me, I do understand pain. I do understand suffering. I am acquainted with sadness, mm, and, you know, betrayal. And the thing is that for me, being a survivor of child sex crimes, this is something that is very hidden, mm-hmm, right? Mostly, yeah, in our society.
Yeah.
Until recently. And so, you know, for me, man, I can just sum it up in just a few sentences.
Don't sum it up. I want to know. I don't need to know all the details.
Yeah.
I mean, they were horrific.
Yeah.
They're awful, Jenna. But yeah, I think for us to be able to see the absolute beauty of what God has done in your life, I mean, mm, it's a tough story to read. And it's probably hard to tell, continue to tell, but I think the power in it is just how far you've come. I mean, there was deep depression that you dealt with. There, yes, there was cutting. There was suicidal thoughts. There was so many things because of one man that walked into your life and wanted to rob this stuff from you, and he fought to rob this from you, but you kept fighting your way through it. And I believe that happened, maybe began at the age of 12 in your life. Can you just take us through a little bit of that so that we, yeah, can come out on the other side with you today?
Yes. So my story is similar to millions of other survivors out there. You know, it's estimated there's 1 in 3 girls and 1 in 5 boys that are survivors of some type,
wow,
of child sexual abuse. And that's just in our country.
That's right.
That's,
yeah,
just in America.
Wow.
And so for me, I fell victim to what we call sexual grooming.
Okay.
And many times these predators understand how to groom the victim. They pick the victim. They groom them. They groom caregivers. They groom families. These offenders are very skilled at grooming institutions, even. They'll groom,
wow,
environments.
Wow.
And it's a whole process, if you look at offender psychology. But it's easy to miss if you don't know what to look for. And so especially when you're a young child, for me, the grooming started very, 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 very early in elementary school.
Really? So even before 12?
Even before that, getting to know the family, getting personal, spending time with, you know, spending time with us, spending time with the family. And that's many times how these offenders work. And so it makes it very difficult when there's sexual grooming involved. Yeah. Over 90% of the time, a child or youth is abused by someone they know and trust and many times might even love. And so offenders work very hard at establishing a level of trust with their victims.
Yeah.
And so for me, it happened slowly, it happened over time. And unfortunately, I learned that what's kept in secret has power over you.
Wow.
The child sexual abuse didn't just happen once, it happened many times. And for many years. And I understand what it's like to live in shame and guilt and fear and blame and intimidation, because part of why these offenders get to know their victims so well is because they want to get to know what makes them afraid. I understand what that's like. And I suffered. I had depression, anxiety, insomnia. I had horrible demonic night terrors I was having. I was self-harming, and I just really didn't want to live anymore. I concluded that it would just be best not to live with this type of pain, not to live with this type of suffering. And so I understand the shame, the guilt, the condemnation, the self-condemnation that and comes with this.
And the question of where is God in the middle of all this? And I know I read that in your book as well, and in many people, I think, if we've gone through trauma in our lives, if we've had any kind of abuse, especially sexual abuse in our lives, like you said, it's just kind of where you wonder, like, why didn't or isn't God intervening in the middle of this? And I know that you struggled with so much of that too, of just like, God, are you there? Why aren't you stepping in? Mm. How did you find God in the worst season of your life?
It's a real question that there's nothing wrong with. You know, I mean, it is okay to wrestle with God. You can wrestle with God and win. And the thing is that we don't understand that we can wrestle. Mm. In fact, we must wrestle with God. Mm. But many times with this crime, because of the shame and the blame and the fear and the guilt and the condemnation, you hide from God. Shame keeps us from having a clear conscience before God. And so how can we have confidence? How can we go to the throne of grace if we are, you know, filled with guilt, shame, or condemnation? And for me, it came to the point where at age 16, my bags were packed for a mental institution, because everyone who loved me, my family, you know, all the prayers, everything, it's like, well, we don't know what else to do.
Wow.
And so it came to that point, you know, once you get checked in, you're not sure who's going to, you know, when you're going to leave an institution like that. But really, I just love how the Lord works, and love came down. And it is true that love trumps all.
Totally.
You know, to have faith is not enough sometimes. To have hope is not enough sometimes. The greatest is love. And so if we get that revelation and that understanding of God's love for us, that God is not the enemy, He did not cause this.
That's right.
This doesn't come from Him. He's not angry. He's not upset. In fact, He's the only one who can heal it. And so I learned that instead of asking, you know, why didn't God intervene, the better question is, you know, why does Satan hate us so much?
Yes.
And it's because he comes every day to steal, to kill, and to destroy us.
Exactly. That's
and
right.
Many times, you know, with sexual crimes, that affects your inmost being. Mm. That affects your innermost part, your spirit, your soul, your body. And so you feel it in all of those areas where God created us to feel things holistically, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And even the research shows that there is a spiritual impact to abuse and to child sexual abuse or to sex crimes. Mm. And so the research shows that in a study of 527 abuse survivors, they found a significant spiritual impact.
Really?
Feelings of guilt. It's everything I talk about in the book.
Yep.
Guilt, anger, grief, despair, doubt, fear of death, and belief that God is unfair. And so we have to address these things. We have to expose these things and bring them into the light so that God's power can heal it.
So, Jenna, when did the healing start for you? Was it at that hospital, or was it when you came out? Was it before that? Like, what steps did you take? How did God begin to heal you?
It really came in the secret place. Everyone's been there to some degree where it's just you alone and God. These spiritual issues, which any type of child sex crime is fully demonic. Mm. And anything like that does require a spiritual solution. And so when I was able to go through inner healing and when I was able to go through deliverance, I was able to learn and unlearn some things, those strongholds in the mind that build over time. Because what happens is when we don't report, when we don't tell, when we don't get help, when we don't find resources to help us, and when we don't turn to God, things progress and they can get worse. And so what happens is the enemy is never satisfied. In the same way as believers, we go from faith to faith and glory to glory, the enemy wants us to go from guilt to shame to condemnation to despair and eventually death.
Yes.
And so we have to catch that progression early, because what I learned is that there's a big difference between guilt and shame and condemnation. Mm. Guilt says, I've done something wrong, right? And many survivors feel like it's my fault. Maybe I should have done this. Maybe I should have done something different. Mm. So guilt says, I've done something wrong. Shame says, I am wrong. And condemnation is when you're really in troubled waters. Condemnation says, I deserve punishment, and I've already ruled out my own sentencing.
Exactly. Jenna, you better preach. You better preach, girl. I'm going to tell the rest of your story a little bit, okay? And then we're going to jump to something else that I think is so important. Your sister, Stephanie.
Yes.
I absolutely love her, loved her in the book. You needed someone to step in with you where you felt trapped, where you felt like you couldn't even... You don't want to destroy other lives. You felt like, my life is destroyed. I don't want to destroy their lives.
Yes.
So your sister saw something. She sat you down and said, look, I need you to be honest with me. And I think we all need friends, sisters in Christ, people in our lives that will just hold us up when we just can't hold ourselves up anymore. And to me, that's what Stephanie, your sister, did, and just looked at you and just said, tell me, Jen, is someone hurting you? And I think it was at that time that you said you just lost it, you broke, and there it was. It was all on the table. Yeah. And at that time, she said, it stops now. It stops now. We're calling the police, and it stops now. And even in that moment, I think that's even when the healing began.
Yes.
Like, it stops now. Well, as I read the rest of the story, I was cheering, and I was fighting, and I was saying, please arrest this man, and please, he needs to be held accountable. And he was held accountable. But beyond that, Jenna, is what God has done with your life since that accountability. Mm. And the fight he gave you inside to begin to stand up for other children that are being abused around the country, nationwide. And I'm going to just say this, and you can jump right in. But girl, you were significant in passing an enormous law called Jenna's Law. Tell me about that.
It's another miraculous moment, and I'm so grateful that I get to be alive to see
Amen.
God's goodness.
Yes, hallelujah.
And to see the promises of God.
Yes.
And it's so difficult.
Yeah.
When you're in that moment of pain, when you're in that moment of suffering, when you're in that moment of grief, it is so difficult to believe. Right? It's so difficult to believe that, you know, I'm so messed up. I've done so many things, and I feel like I'm too far gone.
Gosh.
And how is God going to redeem this? Because we really can't see it. We have our limited perspective.
That's exactly right. And I just want to say, amazing. So many of us can feel that.
Yes.
In whatever circumstances we're going through right now, Jenna, yours was deep, but we have all been there.
Every single one of us in so many different ways. And it's a real place to be.
Yes.
And we have to be honest about that. I'm grateful that there is legislation that bears my name called Jenna's Law. And our former Texas governor, Governor Perry, signed Jenna's Law in 2009.
Okay.
Senator Tan Parker championed Jenna's Law.
So is it working?
It is working. So we have it in Texas, and over half the country has passed similar legislation now.
Wow.
And it's been filed federally in Washington, D.C.
What does that mean?
it means that it might be written as the law of the land,
Jenna,
in the United States of America, the Jenna Quinn Law.
Jenna, that's incredible.
For child protection, protecting other children now.
Okay.
So it requires prevention, education, recognizing and reporting this specific crime. Because as you learned from the book, you know, I go through those behavioral indicators and the emotional indicators, the warning signs. I had every red warning sign blaring, every type of red flag grooming sexual behavior was all there, but nobody was able to see it. It was all happening in plain sight. And so this is the education. It is lack of knowledge that people perish.
Yes, that's right.
And so you can literally die for something that you did not know. That information was at your fingertips, but you didn't know it. And that's a reflection of my story.
Jenna, your story, I mean, it goes beyond our conversation today, and God is not finished.
Yeah,
I think that's the exciting thing. He's not finished with that law. He's not finished with your life, what the enemy meant for bad. And, oh, man, he fought hard to rob from you and steal from you. But look at what God has done. He will always have the final word, and you've stepped into that. You've stepped into that. You're working alongside Jesus to further your life and coming back to life again. You're married. You have children. You're thriving. You're doing incredible things. There are also people today that probably feel stuck in the despair and the heartache and the disappointment. And where's God? He's not intervening. So if you just take a second or minute to just maybe just speak into somebody's life that needs to know the same hope that you found.
Yes. No, absolutely. You know, we know God's word is true. God is not a liar. And, you know, he says he's close to the brokenhearted. He is near to the brokenhearted.
Yes, he is.
But if it gets to the point where your spirit is crushed, a crushed spirit is difficult to come back from. But if it gets to the point where your spirit is crushed, he will be the one to save you. You know, we have to unlearn maybe who we think God is, how he views us, and how we view him.
Absolutely.
And we have to stand firm in a knowing and a walking out and believing that you will see the goodness of God in the land of the living.
Yes, you will. And I think that's a great word right there. I want to take just a second, Jenna, and I want to show our viewer something that's really special to me, where I believe two people that are struggling around the world right now are going to see the living God in the land that might not be feeling like it's flourishing right at this moment, but God is in it. He's in it with them. And I want you to see a glimpse of this as well. Let's take a minute and watch this. So I've spent the week in Africa listening to countless stories of desperation and great pain. My name is Tammy. What is your name? And what is the name of your baby? I know you have very little food, but I'm wondering if you can help me understand what it is that you're able to eat. I can see that your daughter is struggling. I can see that she is, hard to say that word. Hard to say wasting away. It's hard to say that. But it's true. And it's because she's malnourished, and it's because she has no food. I can't even imagine the pain that you must carry with you as a mother. And I'm so sorry. My heart breaks. And I've been given a privilege to come here and spend time with these amazing people that work harder than anybody I know, struggle more than anybody I've seen, that are just asking for a little help. Would you help today?
Would you help save a life?
It was probably one of the hardest trips I think I've ever been on, where I saw and experienced some things that will probably take me the rest of my life to process. I sat with countless families and heard such heartbreaking stories of starvation and people living without food. It's a wonder many of them are still alive today. I was shocked to see what they would gather every single day to try to eat in hopes that they would be okay, in hopes that it would be enough to keep them alive. And sadly, it's not enough for most of them, especially those little children, just like you saw. How can anybody survive for very long on leaves or seeds or who knows what? It was truly devastating for me. I went into a malnutrition clinic where I watched a little tiny baby dying before my eyes, but fighting for life. I walked out of that clinic to hear that another little child had died in another room. How could this be? How could these children be without the basic necessities of life, food? Through no fault of their own, they have fought hard to live and survive. They've done everything they can, but it's that 8-year drought, 8 years of drought in many of these areas that has taken everything from them. All their crops and food sources, they were gone. They were wiped out. Everything was gone. They had nothing, but they were waiting. Waiting for help to come, waiting for some kind of relief. They kept preparing the land with hope. They've tilled the soil with hope. They hold on to hope. They pray for provision. They believe for that miracle to come. And I just kept thinking, God, bring the rain. Could you bring the rain? Bring the miracle these people need. Please, God, answer their prayers. And then I realized that maybe God is giving me an incredible opportunity to be an answer to their prayers. Maybe God is giving you that same opportunity to be an answer to their prayers today. I want you to know that I believe in this ministry, that I've walked alongside them for more than 16 years now, and I want you to know that I've seen firsthand how critical the need is, just like this one. But I've also seen what love can do. I've seen what your love can do and has done for so many years. We together have helped change and save lives for the kingdom of God. And I'm here today to tell you, especially after a trip like that to Ethiopia, that there is still so much work to be done. And we've got to do something today because they cannot wait until tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come for many of them. Would you help us? Would you help bring mission feeding to these desperate villages in Ethiopia and beyond? Right now, we're feeding 350,000 children every single day, and our hope is to go to way beyond that, to bring mission feeding to these areas too. Here's what that would look like if you can help us today. $30 feeds 3 children for 3 months. 50 will feed 5. 100 will feed 10. And $1,000 will feed 100 children for the next 3 months. Man, that's something to get excited about. And remember, with any gift, you'll receive the Blessing of Taking Communion book. And if you can do more, for $100, you'll receive the Life Legacy Journal. I'm believing that together, we can be an answer to their prayers and help bring hope. So please, go online, make a call, and give. Give whatever you can give today. Just give. Let's help bring life. Let's help save a life today.
Right now, across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. Severe drought and famine, including in crisis areas like Ethiopia, means we must replenish food supplies immediately to keep feeding 350,000 children and help reach more people in desperate need. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send the blessing of taking communion. In this book, discover how the sacred ordinance of communion helps to feed your soul and remind you of the transformative power of receiving the Lord's Supper. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the Life Legacy Journal. This beautiful journal and pen will help you write your personal story and share the experiences that made you who you are. One day, the generations that follow will be able to look back and learn from the legacy you've left behind. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Hope you're going online and giving the best gift you possibly could give. Pray about it today. If God's asking you to jump in and do something and come alongside us, then that would be incredible. It would mean so much to us, and it would mean so much to these families. So make sure to go online or make a call, and we'll be there to take that call with you today. Jenna, honestly, I've loved this time with you. I feel a connection with you. I don't know if it's that we sort of met years ago at a women's conference where you were there and bought my own book. And so what an honor for me to think that in any way that I may have encouraged you somehow in your own journey that you've traveled. An incredible woman of God that's doing absolutely incredible things. I love you, and I'm glad that you're here, and I pray favor and blessings on your life. How can people find your book?
They can find it pretty much anywhere books are sold, but you can go to my website, jennaquinn.net, okay. And you can order it through the website or through Amazon.
Okay. Pure in Heart.
Pure in Heart.
It's a great book. I'm telling you, you will not be able to put it down. I could not put it down. Everything is in this book that is filled with hope, not just despair, but it's filled with great hope. The Lord Jesus promises to stand with us in the hard times. I felt it in my own life time and time again, and I know Jenna has felt it too. His comfort, his strength, his presence is an enormous gift to all of us, knowing that it's real even if it feels unfelt at times. He is there. Lamentations 3:22-23 says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every single morning. Great is your faithfulness." Jesus, he is faithful through it all. May we all feel that today, no matter where we're at, what we're going through. God bless you. Thanks for being with us today, and we'll see you next time on Life Today.
During my battle with Crohn's disease, I took 30 different products, not capsules a day, bottles. None of them worked.
The one element that changed Jordan Rubin's life tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.